So I asked him then, there now you can hear me a little bit better. I asked him why was it so important that he told me with that, and I said, what made you want to tell me or single me out? He says, well, I can remember the last several years when you've done the program that you've always talked a bit about God in there, and he said, I wanted to let you know that was some of my thinking. He says, you know, it was a long process. He says, I'm 68 years old, and God's been working on me and softening my heart. He says, I've been a very proud man for many years, but the Lord really spoke to me about my pride this summer. And so he said, because you were part of that, and I thought it was important that I told you. And so I've really come to the conclusion that you never know sometimes what it is that you say. And I've always, when I did these things, I always made it very matter-of-factly. I didn't belabor the point, but I always made it an opportunity so that they knew if they had questions that they could talk to me afterwards. So I was very thankful about that. And so I talked with him a little bit about it, and he, the church that he goes to, I said, well, where do you go to church? And he says, well, I go to church, you know, down in the town there. And I says, well, how's the teaching down there? He says, well, the pastor, she's you know, she's got some good, interesting messages. And I'm like, you know, new Christian, I thought, well, I'm not gonna bombard him with some of these things right off. But I figure I have a little bit of time, possibly. I says, well, my friend Brian and I, there's a good Christian fellow that I met about two miles from my house. He and I have been getting together for Bible study weekly, and we've been trying to encourage the men in the community to do that, but we had no takers. So I said to Rudy, I says, well, why don't you come and join us for a Bible study? He says, well, I would love to do that. And so we kept calling him for several months, and finally he came out to the Bible study, and we thought we'd begin in the book of John with him, and it was very interesting. My friend Brian was very good at putting him on the spot and asking him some questions that made him think a little bit. So he asked him, he said, Rudy, he says, I want to ask you a question. He says, who created the earth? And so Rudy thinks about it a little bit. You know, you could tell he was a little bit embarrassed, but that was good because we weren't going to let him off the hook. Wanted him to think a little bit. So he says, well, I suppose God did. That's what I'm supposed to say, isn't it? No, he said, that's not what you're supposed to say. It's, who do you think did it? And so he says, well, God. And so I asked him, well, which God? He says, well, no, I mean God. I says, well, there's a lot of people that call a lot of things gods. I want to know which one you're talking about. He says, well, you know God. And I said, I know God, but which God are you talking about? And so he says, well, the one up in heaven. And I said, okay. And I said, which part of God then? Well, then he starts rubbing his face and getting all nervous again. And so Brian explains to him that God's in three parts. You know, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so he says, well, I suppose God the Father did. Okay, that's an answer. So then we began to look at John chapter 1. And we weren't in the Bible study, but about 10 or 15 minutes, and he was just in tears with excitement. He said, and we had to keep correcting his thinking. He says, boy, you two guys really know an awful lot of stuff. And I said, no, don't let us fool you. I said, we're two ignorant men. But I said, it's right here in black and white. You're reading it for yourself. I said, we're not telling you anything. We're just showing you where to find it. So he was so excited, but he kept referring to us as though we had some special things. And I said, no, it's just that we've been studying a little bit longer than you have. You have a lot of catch-up work to do. But it's right there. And he was so excited about this. And it was so encouraging to me to see his excitement. You know, he says, I want to tell you guys, he says, you can probably add your two ages together and not come up with mine. Well, we're a little bit older if we added us up together. But he said, you know, he says, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and he says, I heard messages all my life, but he says, I never knew that this stuff was in the Bible. And I said, Rudy, I said, that's the problem, because I said, too many people sit back and listen instead of look for themselves. I said, we're going to show you how to look for yourself, and you'll be excited. And so he's been faithfully coming to a Bible study now for 3 months. And it's very interesting. My friend Brian and I, in our town, we passed a tax. I don't know if that was too bright on our part, but to build a new school. So they're trying to decide what to do with the old building, and we think it would make a great community center. Brian and I, we decided that we'd be on that committee for that, because that would give us another opportunity to talk with people. And so Rudy, because he's one of the township trustees, was sitting in on the meeting, and the other two trustees were there too. And so right in the middle of our meeting, I don't know what prompted him to do it, but right in the middle of our meeting, he says, "You guys ought to go to these guys' Bible study." He says, "You're thinking it's all wrong." He says, you know, it was really, really kind of cute. So one of the other township trustees is Catholic, and so Rudy had invited him. He says, "I want to tell you," he says, "I used to think that I knew it all." He says to the other fellow, he says, "Do you know that this stuff is right in the Bible?" So he's starting to tell him what he learned. He says, "Did you know that that's in the Bible?" And the other, and Gary says, "Is it really?" So now we've got two of the township trustees coming to this Bible study. We grew from just Brian and I, and now we're up to about five people that come, and it's exciting to see this. And I've just been really, over the last several years, really taken with the thought of how important it is for us to evangelize and just to take an opportunity to say something to someone. There's been so many times in my life when I've regretted walking away from people saying I should have said something. And I'm sure that we've all experienced that from time to time, where we heard somebody talking about something, or there was a certain situation that arose, and we the Holy Spirit was prompting us to say something, and we quenched the Spirit, and we didn't say anything, and then afterwards we kind of kick ourselves because we say afterwards, I should have said something. And I don't think that we should ever live our lives with what we should have done. When we have an opportunity to do something and we know that we should do it, that's what we should do, and to take that opportunity. I think a lot of times, I think it might be because we're a little bit embarrassed or we're not sure of ourselves sometimes, but I'm encouraged, if you could please turn with me to Mark chapter 16, what the Lord said to us, and the Lord gives us a great pattern of witnessing to people and to share our faith with people. And I find that a lot of it is not so much what I say or what I'm thinking about saying, it's really a lot of it is just listening to people and their conversations. And I'm amazed, since I've been doing that, is talking less and listening more, how many opportunities that you truly have to say things. And I think especially in our day and age, especially with this being an election year, because morality, fortunately, has become part of the campaigning issues. So it really gives you an opportunity to share with people whether they like your opinion or not. It's a great opportunity to be able to do that. I overheard a conversation at a restaurant about a month back, and they were talking about same-sex marriages, you know, whether it was right or wrong. And their conversation got a little bit louder in that, and they were right back to me, so I decided to turn my chair around and said, "I think you guys want to listen to what I have to say." And they said, "Oh, are you sure about that?" And I said, "Yes, I am." I said, "I don't know if you'll appreciate it, but you need to hear what I have to say." I said, "You guys are trying to base your conversation on what you think." I says, "But it doesn't matter what you think." I says, "In life, it matters what God thinks." And so I was able to share with them, and they listened to me for 20 minutes talk about things, and they thanked me afterwards. You know, they said, "You really gave us something to think about." And so I tried to use that opportunity. It took a little bit of work on my part, because I'm sitting there, should I say something, shouldn't I say something, and I'm thinking, they're getting louder. Okay, Lord, that's the indication. They got louder, thank you. That's all I needed. Was just that little bit of confidence that you needed to say, and I really don't care in that kind of situation what people think of me. I don't care what their opinion is of me. I've got something to say, and I'm not out there to try to win a popularity contest with these folks. But in Mark chapter 16 and verse 14, we see that later he, speaking of Jesus, appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And he rebuked their unbelief and the hardness of their hearts, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And this condemned has really bothered me, this word, because we see it in John 3 as well. They that do not believe are condemned already. And I don't think that there's probably a worse feeling in your life than to be on death row, knowing that all that you're waiting is for is execution. You've been sentenced, you've been found guilty, and really that's how the world is we have a lot of condemned people out there in very sad situations with no hope. And I think, what right do I have to keep my mouth silent in that case? Because I I don't want to live my life as though I wished I could have said something or should have said something. As given the opportunity by the Holy Spirit, I want to take that opportunity. I think sometimes as we want to share our faith, sometimes it can be a lack of confidence. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 10. And I think that, I've asked people, asked Christians from time to time, why is it that you don't say anything? And a very common answer that I hear is because I don't know what to say. So my philosophy is, well, we better learn what to say then. We need to know what we truly believe ourselves. And even if all that we can share is our own experience, at least that's something. But in Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear witness, that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way: do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And we're reminded here just what it is, what salvation is really all about. I've really, in my observation of watching people witness or lead people to Christ, there's been times in my life when I've cringed about it, because I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it says to repeat after me. As you look at Mark 12 with the rich man that came to Jesus, Jesus allowed that man to turn around and walk away, because it's God's way. When we come to him, it's his way. And the way is not easy. It doesn't say that broad is the way that leads to life. It says broad is the way that leads to death. And I believe that there are times when we make things a little bit too easy for people, and they don't go into it thinking about what they're doing. So I've really come to the conclusion in my life that I really want to make sure that people know that they need to be saved and what they would be saved from. I want to talk about God's wrath. I want people to realize that they need a Savior. I want them to realize that they're a sinner. So I find that a lot of the work that I would do in preaching the gospel would be to have people help to recognize in themselves that they're lost and that they need a Savior, and that Christ is the answer. And so what I've really tried to do is I've tried to do things in such a way that I give somebody something to think about, realizing that it's God who's going to give the increase. I might be doing a little bit of planting, I might be doing a little watering, but it's God who's going to bring the increase. And how important it is, people are not going to hear the gospel unless somebody says it. And so I've really been convinced that as I have opportunity, I need to do that with as many people as I can. Unfortunately, in our society today, though, there are so many devices and so many things that take us away from people. I've really found that. I've got something in my wallet here that I want to show you. You guys probably have one, too. Maybe some of you have three or four of them. It's a little plastic thing. You know what I'm talking about, Clint, huh? Have a few? These things are... They're really wonderful. It's not really money. It just makes you think that it's money. So you got to be careful with them. They can be abused, and you can get yourself in a lot of trouble with them. But these things, this is actually it's a dual thing. It's a debit card, so it works like a credit card. But this is so neat, the way that our society is. I can go up to a little machine. I don't have to get out of my car. I can put it in, push buttons, and money pops out. And I think that's an exciting thing when money pops out. Or when I go to the store and I want to buy something and it says the word approved. Doesn't that make you feel good? But I found that this thing is also something that's very detrimental. Because of this little thing right here like this, it keeps me from coming into contact with people. So instead of going into the bank, I go outside of the bank and push this in. People call it convenience. I call it trouble. Because if it takes me away from people, then I don't have an opportunity to say something to anybody. It's very interesting, I can go get gas. Back when I was a kid, you weren't allowed to get out of your car and pump the gas. I can remember that. I'm that old. Uncle Dave, you remember when they had gas? I'm just kidding. But anyhow, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. But, you know, things have changed over the years. Now they want us, they prefer us paying at the pump. Well, I've decided that I'm not going to pay at the pump anymore. So what I do is I go inside and I go to pull out my piece of plastic right here like this, and they said, well, why don't you pay at the pump? And I said, well, there's a really good reason why I don't. I said, that's the reason right there that I don't. Inevitably what they say is, can you do that again? And I go to pull out my credit card. And they said, no, the other thing. And then they call the manager over. And before you know it, I have four or five people standing right there. And I go like this, okay? And so I said, that's why I don't pay at the pump. You know. So then they look at it and they said, let me see that. And I said, it's just my wallet. Now, this cost me about $50, okay? But I'll tell you, I have never had an evangelistic tool that has worked for me as much as this has. Because I'll tell you, as you can tell, it's an attention getter, isn't it? You got to be now. April, she's a little bit more cautious than I am, and embarrasses her. She says, "You're not going to do your wallet, are you?" I said, "Yes, dear, I am going to do it." So she cringes because she thinks I'm going to get arrested. She says, "Now, don't go on a plane with it." I said, "Honey, I'm not flying anywhere this week, okay?" But it's very interesting because usually the conversation will lead this way. They will say to me, "Aren't you afraid of your money burning?" And I could answer this two ways. I would say, if I had some, maybe. Okay? But what I say instead, what I've chosen to say is, where I'm going, it's no good anyhow. And so they'll ask me, well, what do you mean by that? And so it gives me an opportunity. And all that I find that this does is it starts a conversation. That's all that this does for me. But that's what it takes. If we're gonna share our faith with people, we gotta talk to them. And if we're afraid to talk with them, first of all, we need to know what is it that we should say. And we should really look to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is wonderful in our lives. So He'll lead us and guide us and prompt us to be able to say things. The thing is, sometimes we don't want to pay attention to His leading and guiding. So I found that for me, sometimes all I need is just a little bit of something to start a conversation. Because you can take it from there. And again, I don't always need to have something in here. But the lady at the toll booth that took my money, she really liked what I had to say. And they brought somebody from the other booth and came over to see it on my way up here, too. And so I had an opportunity to talk with them. It was only like about 20 seconds, 30 seconds of conversation. But I pray that it was enough that I gave them something to think about. And really, that's what I'm convinced that we really need to do is get them to think about something, because if they're searching God, God says you'll find them. But that's the thing, is they don't know to look sometimes, or they don't know where to look. And so I've really tried to take the opportunity. It's a cute little item, and they don't sell them to people under 18, you know, with something like this. But I thought, you know, this is something that I can use, and I can carry it with me all the time. But that piece of plastic, and I've really thought of other things in life, how many things take us away from being in contact with people. Things that we say are conveniences, really, we've been fooling ourselves, and really that it might be convenient, but every once in a while, I think it's good to be inconvenienced so that you can have an opportunity to talk with someone that maybe you couldn't have before. And as you have opportunities, listen to what people say. I've found really very few times that people really won't take the time to listen to what you have to say. I think it's wonderful. So I think as we share our faith, first we need to realize that it's a command of the Lord that we're to do this. Secondly, I think that it's important for us to know what to say, know what we believe, be convinced of it ourselves, and to live by it. The next thing that I think is so important for us, let's take a look at Colossians chapter 4. And I think that something that's so important for us is to prepare ourselves for this. And I've found this too. Someone had said this to me before, is don't wait to work on something until you're asked. Prepare yourself ahead of time so that when you're asked, you're ready to go. And how important that really is for us is to prepare ourselves so when the opportunity arises, we're ready for that. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says this: walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And I think preparation comes in two ways. The first would be personal preparation, is our own walk with the Lord. And it tells us to walk in wisdom. And I think that as a Christian, we need to be consistent in our walk. We need to be consistent with our time with the Lord, with our quiet time. Make sure that spiritually we're prepared and we're doing our very best as unto the Lord. And then as we come in contact with those that are outside, we need to have real wisdom. We need to know when to say something. We need to know how to say something. Because for one person, it might be one way, but for somebody else, that particular way might not work. So we need to be sensitive, and this is where I think that a lot of listening comes in. When I heard those people in that restaurant talking about their conversation, I had a few moments there to think, how should I approach these people? Because I was convinced that I should. It's how can I do this without being extremely offensive so that they would listen to what I should say, but yet not water down what needs to be said in there. So I really prayed, and it amazed me. I guess I shouldn't be amazed in how the Holy Spirit works. For some reason, we act surprised every time it happens. But it's exciting to watch the Holy Spirit work as you're in a conversation with people on just the things that are said, things that maybe you weren't thinking about saying, but he brought to your memory. And it's wonderful to see that work and to have people actually listen. And I've had people walk off real quick and tell me that I'm crazy before too, and that's fine as well. I'm not offended by that, because I'd rather have said something with it. And I generally say when they're walking away is that you're going to remember this moment for eternity, because it'll haunt you for a long time. Eternity is a long time. And so that usually gets them to turn around and ask, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, you know, rejecting God, you're going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire. And it's a long time to think about it. And you're going to remember this moment because you heard the good news and you did nothing about it. Have a great day. So, and then usually I walk away, and occasionally they'll stop me and it'll get the conversation going a little bit more. But it's true. And I think too, in our preparation is that we really need to be ready at a moment's notice. As opportunity arises, as we've come in contact with people, we need to take those moments. And I don't know if it's because I'm older or I have a little bit more confidence in things. And I find the older that I get, the more opinionated I get, so I know that people now want to hear what I have to say rather than guessing whether they want to. I really try to take those opportunities then to go ahead and do something, really praying and thinking about what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say what I'm going to say, because of what I want the end result to be. And really what I've really tried to have accomplished in my own life is to really give them something to think about, something that will bother them for a while. I have a friend, I had an opportunity to meet this fellow. He owns a magic shop where I get some of my tricks from, and he said that he's a Christian, but there's really no evidence there. So I've given him some things to think about, and I was at the shop for a couple of minutes this morning because his wife had made something for me, and I had told him before, I said, you know, I'm going to pray that your life is miserable until you really get yourself right with the Lord, is what I told him. And so he told me today, forgetting that conversation, he says, I have had the worst 2.5 weeks of my life. I'm miserable. And so I said to him, I said, do you know why? And he says, yeah, well, I've got this going on, this going on, this going on. I said, no, because I've been praying that way, remember? Oh, so you're the reason, he said. And I said, well, there's a reason for that, and I want you to think about it, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. So he, that's the one who called me on the phone. So it bothered him a little bit more, and so I assured him that I would talk to him tomorrow. I want him to think about it. And I think it's good for people to struggle with things. So when we give them, and we see here in Colossians, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you know, may know how you ought to answer each one. Because individuals are different, our technique might have to be different, our conversation might have to be different, so we need to really pray that the Lord will use our speech in the way that will reach this person. Another thing that I think is so important is to really come to the conclusion that we don't need to be afraid. Our God is greater than anyone or anything. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I think when we really come to the conclusion of the message that we have or what we know, we really need to say exactly what's said here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I think that when we truly are convinced of the life-changing message that we have, and how it changed our very own lives, and just the confidence of that, I think then we should have or should attain a little bit more boldness and not be afraid. And there's several things, as we've talked about too, I think it's important. When I talked about preparation and preparing ourselves, I want to remind you of a verse in 1 Peter. It says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as an evildoer, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And how important it is here when we're doing and we're sharing with other people that we have a good conscience, that we keep a short account of our sin, that we can confess our sins, because He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so as we share with people that our walk is where it should be and what it should be, and that gives us a greater opportunity and a greater confidence in talking with people. I brought with me tonight a little object lesson besides the wallet. That was an interesting one. But I found this little stick, and I thought it was so interesting because it really reminded me of all the things that I needed to do when I needed to share faith, and how just how everything is connected together. I have this blue pom-pom here that is actually connected to this yellow one here like this, and that really needs to remind me that first it's got to start with my own faith, what I believe, and then how important it is to know what I believe, and then how I'm reminded that we have a gospel message to share with people, and then it's reminded us how can people hear unless they hear the message, so we know that we've got to be sent. So this, it really is connected all together, and how important that is then in our own life as regular preparation in our own life, and be prepared, make sure that we have a good conscience before the Lord. So you can see that is important, but it's also connected with this part over here because it really begins over there. And so you might ask yourself, well, which one of these things is really more important? And I say, well, it's all important, because it's really how it works all together, you see, that makes the difference for this. Now, it's very interesting, and I can see Jorge back there. He thinks he's pretty smart and he's got it all figured out by now. But, and I'm just going to ask maybe one of the kids tonight, can you tell me which pom-pom is connected to the blue one? Does anybody know? Can you tell me which one? The yellow one? No, it's actually connected to the green one over here, okay? But the green one is connected to the yellow one, so you were pretty close, okay, with that one. Now, Clint, you got it figured out, don't you, with all your... I thought that for a long time too, until I opened it up and realized that they really weren't. Okay, I had thought that, but you know, this is what's interesting, because it doesn't work the way that it should if one part is failing. Okay, if you break it apart and you say this is all that I'm going to do in life, and you don't put the whole thing together, you know, if you don't put the whole thing together like this, I want to tell you, it's just not going to work. Okay, because it needs to be all connected. All these things that we discussed tonight need to be working at the same time for it to be working, for us to be able to do that. So I thank you for cooperating with me with all that. But you are right, because they are all connected. And you know, that's really that way with us with evangelism. We need to be doing all these things. We need to have all these things incorporated in our life at one time, and they all need to be working properly. If there's a break in it at all, then we're not being effective for the Lord the way that we should be. And as we read first, it's important to us because we are supposed to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And how important that is for us to do that. And so we put all these things together, and we realize that we need to have that self-preparation in our lives. We not just talk about things or not just share the gospel, but we need to really live the lives that God wants us to do pleasing. And as we do that, I have found that even in the way that I live, even in my lifestyle, it has given me opportunities to share the gospel, because people will ask questions. Why are you doing what you're doing? And it's very interesting as I travel from place to place and have those opportunities that gives me more when they'll ask those questions. You know, why aren't you doing this? Why are you taking? It's been very interesting as you pray before a meal out at a restaurant. And I've had waiters and waitresses that have come up and started talking to me, and then all of a sudden they realized what I was doing. And, oh, I'm sorry. I said, I'll be with you in a minute, but I got to talk to God first. You know, so you really, and that stuns them sometimes. You know, that you would do that, and that again gives you opportunity to talk with people. So this evening, I'd just like to encourage you in that, and I want to say this too, that doing the work of the Lord like this doesn't—we don't ever retire from it. And I have an uncle of mine who's a Christian fellow, and I asked him the other day when I saw him, I asked him what he's been doing for the Lord, and he says, "Well, I'm retired." I said, "Well, I know you're retired from your job, but how about for that?" He says, "Well, I'm letting younger people do that." Now, and I said, "Can you show me?" I was respectful, but I asked him to show me where it says that in the Bible that you retire from that. I says, I don't see that anywhere. I see where your roles change a little bit. What you did before, you might not be able to do now even physically, but there's still a lot of work to be done. I said, are you at least praying for other people? Because maybe that's all that you're able to do now. Maybe you're able to take someone underneath your arm and to encourage them in the work of the Lord, but that's still something that we ought to be doing. So we never retire from that. And I've been encouraged for so many years when older people have taken the time to encourage me, even at times to admonish me when I've needed it, to spur me on, and how important that is in our lives, and just how we need to encourage our young people to do the same thing. So I want to thank you this evening for the opportunity to be with you. It's very good to be with you. You can be praying for April and I. We've got a very busy summer. We just got back from 2 weeks down south. I was down at Camp Hope in Georgia, and then at Mountaintop Youth Camp in North Carolina. And I've been trying to follow the footsteps of someone else and doing family meetings instead of just Vacation Bible School. I had some good words of wisdom from somebody who I'm not going to mention, but you know, it's been good. So I've got 5 weeks of family meetings from now until September, and 4 weeks of camps. So I've really tried to work it. I'm not a marathon worker like some, where I can go for 7 or 8 weeks at a time, because we've got too many varmints at home to be able to do that. So I've been trying to just to do 2 weeks away and then home for a week. But we're looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us, and I'm looking forward to what the Lord has in store for you, and hearing some of the great conversations that you're going to have in the next several months as well. Let's just close our time together in a word of prayer.